A very blessed evening to all of you. I thank God for this opportunity to share His word with you at the threshold of the year 2017. Let us go to God in prayer before we listen to His word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to come before you at the threshold of the year 2017. To give thanks and praises for what you have done for us throughout the year 2016. Thanks for being with us and sustaining us in all circumstances. At times when we were weak, you strengthened us. When we were ill, you healed us. When we fell, you picked us up. When we were sad, you comforted us. And when we were afraid, you were there with us. Thanks for being such a God. Now we would like to listen to your word. Speak to us, O Lord, for we are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I have the habit of turning first to the obituaries page of the Straits Times before I read the other news during the New Year's Eve, which I will not do so on other days when I read the Straits Times. How sad it is to enter the new year without the one whom one loves, while others are enjoying the merriment of New Year's Eve. The bereaved family is in grief. What the bereaved family is sometimes left with are the last words of the deceased given on his deathbed, which are to be taken seriously and, if possible, to be carried out. Talking about last words, I recall what my grandfather told us his grandchildren to do minutes before he breathed his last. He told us to continue to love our father despite his inability to head the family. My father was his favorite son, and my father was depressed because of his bankruptcy that resulted from his failed business. As my father could not function well emotionally and mentally, my grandfather was afraid we would not love our father anymore and would not treat him well. We took our grandfather's last words seriously, and we took care of our father till he went to be the Lord in 1995. The dying expects his last words to be taken seriously by his surviving loved ones. Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, gave his last words to Peter, which were for Peter to continue following him. His last words entail the commission to Peter to take care of his sheep. Let us examine Jesus' last words to Peter. Please read together with me John chapter 21, verses 15 to 19. If you don't have the Bible with you, it's okay, because we will read together from here. I've prepared for you. The heading of this passage in ESV, English Standard Version, is Jesus and Peter, while that of the NASB, the New American Standard Bible, is the love motivation. And that of the NIV, the New International Version, is Jesus reinstates Peter. Okay, let us read together now. John chapter 21. Verses 15 to 19. Okay, 1, 2, 3. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, "Do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk whatever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show but what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." At the beginning of his ministry on earth, we are told by Mark in his gospel that Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Follow me." Jesus called his first disciple. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Towards the end of his ministry, yet surprisingly, John tells us Jesus said the same to Peter, "Follow me." This shows that Peter had yet to understand what following Jesus meant. The Bible tells us that Peter had been with Jesus for 3 years, ate and drank with Jesus, studied the word of God under Jesus himself, and testified to Jesus performing miracles, and he is even a part of the inner circle of Jesus' disciples, comprising Peter himself, John, and James, who witnessed Jesus' transfiguration, while the rest of the disciples did not. However, when Peter faced the situation that put his reputation, self-esteem, and life at risk because of his being a follower of Jesus, he disowned Jesus. If Peter could do such a thing, don't ever think that you and I will never ever do that. What is meant by following Jesus? The Apostle John told us that following Jesus is to love God more than anything else. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 33, we are told that towards the end of his ministry on earth, Jesus told his disciple that he would be crucified and all of his disciples would be scattered. However, Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." He then reiterated in verse 35, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And in John chapter 13, verse 37, Peter says, "Lord, I will lay down my life for you." Peter declared that he loved Jesus more than all the other disciples did. Yet he would be the one who disowned Jesus 3 times. After Jesus' resurrection, Jesus addressed the question, "Do you love me?" to Peter 3 times to remind him of his 3-time denial. Therefore, the 3rd time Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" Peter was grieved as he was reminded of his 3-time denial. Did he really love God more than his fellow disciples did, as how he had declared before them and Jesus? When Jesus was arrested, all the disciples, including Peter, deserted him and fled. Even worse, Peter later on denied Jesus. No wonder before Jesus was arrested, when Peter asked Jesus, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. This is recorded in John chapter 13, verses 37 and 38. Peter still did not understand what following Jesus meant although he had been with Jesus almost every day for 3 years. It is important, therefore, for Jesus, before he left the earth, to restore Peter. The three same questions, "Do you love me?" urge Peter to re-examine what following Jesus meant. To follow Jesus is to love him more than anything else. Without this kind of love, Peter will not be able to continue Jesus' ministry on earth and be ready to die for him. Bernard de Clairvaux, in his devotional classic on loving God, explained what divine love is and how we grow towards and develop in the perfect love of God, which comes to us in Jesus Christ. In his devotional classic, Bernard presents his famous 4 degrees of love, which are a model of spiritual development in Christlikeness. Indeed, many of his writings had a profound influence on Martin Luther and John Calvin. Luther even referred to Bernard as the best monk that ever lived. The first degree of love: we love ourselves for our own sake. This is selfish love. This is indeed the very nature of sinful human beings. The Apostle Paul also said so. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29. This is why Jesus said the second greatest commandment is to love our neighbor as ourselves. Because we are sinful and imperfect creatures, we begin our stage of growth in our love by loving ourselves, which is the first degree of love. So it is no wonder that Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as yourself," as it is difficult for us to love others because of our selfish love, our own selfish love. The second degree of love: we love God for our own sake or for our own blessings. At this stage of growth in our love, we grow in our thankfulness to God for his love for us. We love God because he loves us and because he is good to us. He gives us whatever we ask him for. He blesses us with good health. He protects our family. He blesses our business. He gives us a good job, and he heals us of our severe illnesses. If we observe carefully our love for God at this stage, we can conclude our love for him is actually based on what benefits we derive from him in loving him. In other words, we love him because we perceive him as a means for us to get something from him, be it wealth, healing, satisfaction, or even to get to heaven. Our love for God at this stage then is tantamount to a business transaction. We love him because we want to get something from him. If we love him, what can we get from him? This is a dangerous attitude, because when we do not get what we want from God, we will be angry with him. We will stop loving him. We will stop serving him, or we might even not step into the church anymore, and we will stop believing in him. The year 1998 was a dark chapter in my hometown, Jakarta. Amid the chaos of that year, inspired by the Asian financial crisis, a Christian girl was struck with tragedy. She was heading home in a taxi after a revival service and was raped in the taxi. Since that incident, she and her entire family were bitter towards God and have never stepped foot into a church anymore. "I'm sorry, Lord, I wouldn't love you anymore, because I had loved you, but I didn't get anything good from you. Instead, I lost my future, my life, my reputation, my self-esteem, and my many other concerns, I'll be better off not loving you. I believe Peter's stage of love for God before his restoration was of the second degree of love. Therefore, when Peter was faced with a situation that put his reputation, self-esteem, and life at risk arising from his love for Jesus, he disowned Jesus. The third degree of love. We love God for God's own sake. At this stage of the third degree of love, we love God for who he really is. Our love for him is no longer a love that is born out of necessity. We love him because we are captivated by his nature of love for us. A friend told me this story. One day, he returned home from a business trip abroad. He had with him a present from abroad for his daughter. His daughter was so happy. My friend asked her, "Are you happy because daddy's home or because of the present he has brought home for you?" Her daughter threw aside the present, ran to him, hugged him, and exclaimed, "Daddy, I'm happy because you are home." His heart is warm in realizing his daughter was happy because of his return rather than because of the present he had brought home for her. In a similar vein, God's heart is warm too if we love him for who he is, rather than for what he gives us or for what benefits we can derive from him. The fourth degree of love, we love ourselves for God's sake. This is the highest degree of our love for God. In all things, we seek to do only according to his will, but not to please ourselves. Come what may, thy will be done. Thy will be done. We surrender our life and our all to him, to be used for the fulfillment of his will and purpose, regardless of whatever happens to us. We are his instrument to be used in whatever ways he wishes to use us. Despite the difficulties and sufferings in following him, we still love him. This is the kind of love that leads us to declare, just as Asaph did, "Whom I have in heaven but you, and there is nothing on earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." This fourth degree of love does not make feel bitter towards God when bad thing happens to us despite our following him. Bernard de Clairvaux says, "When we reach this fourth degree of love, we will experience the joy of the Lord and be forgetful of ourselves in a wonderful way." Jesus wanted Peter to reach this highest degree of love for him, so that in all things he did, it would be for God's will and it would be to please God. Unless Peter's love for Jesus was of this highest degree of love, he would not be able to continue Jesus' mission on earth, that is, to feed Jesus' sheep that Jesus would entrust to Peter after Jesus' ascension into heaven. Unless Peter's love for Jesus was of this highest degree, he would not be prepared to die for Jesus. That is why it was necessary for Jesus to ask Peter the same question thrice, as he knew the kind of death Peter would have in glorifying God. Peter would be crucified for Jesus' sake. The same question thrice, "Do you love me?" prompted Peter to re-examine his love for Jesus. Peter, after his restoration, reached this fourth degree of love for Jesus. In the later part of his life, Peter wrote in chapter 4, verses 12 to 16 of his letter to encourage believers to rejoice even in their sufferings for Christ. This is what Peter wrote. "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name." A crisis can reveal our motive in following Jesus. If we leave him during a crisis, it shows we follow God because we merely want to get something out of him. However, during a crisis, if we draw even closer to Jesus, it shows we love ourselves for God's own sake, even if we have to lose everything in so doing. In which degree of love are we in? Has our love for God reached the highest degree, that is the fourth degree? We must grow from selfish love to agape love, which does God's will, denies our self ambitions, grows in thankfulness for his love for us, gets captivated by his nature of love for us, and ultimately loses ourselves in him. Let us ponder over the message that we have just heard. The same question that Jesus asked of Peter can also be asked of us. Do you love me more than this? Do you love me more than anything else? Let us honestly examine our love for him. How much do we love him? Have we been a Christian for long, but yet our love for him is still in the second degree or even in the first degree of love? God wants us to love him more than anything else. Unless we love him more than anything else, we will not be able to serve him well. We will not be able to take care of his sheep well. Let us tell God that we want to love him more than anything else. We are at the dawn of a new year. We do not know what lies ahead for us in the year 2017. Despite that, let our love for him grow deeper. Let us bow our head and let's end this message with the song, "Just Let Me Sing." The word is in the bulletin. You may refer to it and let it be your prayer to God.
Let me say how much I love you. Let me speak of your mercy and grace. Just let me live in the shadow of your beauty. Let me see you face to face. And the earth will shake as your word goes forth, and the heavens would tremble and fall. let me say how much I love you. Oh, my Savior, my Lord and friend. Just let me hear your finest whispers as you gently call my name. And let me see the sun is holy ground, and I am found completely surrendered to you, my Lord and friend. So let me say how much I love you. With all my heart, I long for you. This passion of knowing, this endless love I've found in you, and the depth of grace, the forgiveness found to be called a child of God, just makes me say how much I love you. Oh, my Savior, my Lord and makes me say how much I love you. Oh, my Savior, my Lord and friend.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, tonight at the threshold of 2017, God asks us, do you love me more than this? Do you love me more than anything else? You can answer honestly to God tonight.